Watts, play us in, Watts. Yeah. Some old school. Oh, welcome to week 8 of the league podcast. I'm here with Mike Millis, the fantasy killer, and Watts, the Buzzsaw attorney at law, and I am Kat, who came in last year. And we're going to review a little bit of week 7, go over our week 8 picks. We're going to give you some hot takes. We have Watts in coming back from last week not being here. He's got 3 pages of notes. He's got all types of information to give you. He did terrible last week in the picks. He don't want to talk about it. Lost to the coin, lost to Miller, who had a monster week. He crushed it. And we might as well just review the picks from last week. What was our records? Who's got the statistician here?
I got it here. I went 7-7. In my worst week, I go 500. I mean, I cannot complain. A bad week, but, you know, we're going to get back this week. Catch, you went 9-5.
I thought it was 10-4.
No. You thought you went 10-4.
No. Well, I went 0-1. The coin went 9-4, and I potentially the coin could have been 10-4 had I not hampered the coin with my shitty Thursday night pick.
Exactly. And Miller just went fucking ham on everybody and went 12-2.
If you want to make money, some serious money, all you have to do is bet against my Thursday night pick, and you will be just a millionaire, man. Just keep betting against me on Thursday night. I know the show airs after Thursday night, but you should just put whatever I pick on Thursday, just put money on the opposite thing, and you could just make money that way. All right.
Finally, I could agree. Finally.
That's beyond good. 12-4 is rough to go, man. Like, I mean, the chances of you going 12-2 are very slim. But good prognostications from you, Miller. Congrats.
Probably not going to repeat, but do the best I can.
You know, if you go back 12-2 2 weeks in a row, you should just move out to Vegas and start a different life, you know.
Sports advisories.
So did we go over the Amari Cooper trade last week, or did that happen this week?
I honestly can't remember.
I think we went over Hyde. Hyde was last week. Let's just quickly just, you know, dip into the Amari Cooper. John Gruden has officially put the team into tank mode, but he did get a good value for Amari Cooper because no one was offering near a first, and he ended up catching a first from Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys, which is probably going to be like the 15th or 14th pick in the draft.
Yeah. He got a good return.
So do you mind this at this point? Or, like, I know it looks bad because Gruden just dismantled the team, but, like, If you're the GM / coach like Gruden is, you're going in. You're there for the long haul. You're there 10 years. You want to make the team in your image. You don't want to I guess you just want to build it how you want to build it. So do you mind what he's doing right now?
I mean, I think the biggest issue is twofold. One, you know, getting all these picks is great and all, but like, there is 1,000 busts in the NFL draft, even in the first round. So these 5 firsts he now has in the next 2 years could easily turn into insert name here 5 garbage players, and then what?
Well, no, you obviously have to hit on your draft picks, right?
Yeah, but it's not easy, and it's like you get guys like Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper. Like, those are the guys you want to build around. Like, instead of trading them away for just more picks and hope to hit, like, they hope that first turns into the next Amari Cooper for them, like, they trade him away.
To be fair, Amari Cooper wasn't an overly dominant player like Khalil Mack. Like, he wasn't the top in his field at his position. Like, Khalil Mack is the best outside rusher in the NFL.
Like, I agree.
Amari Cooper is like a solid wide receiver.
Yeah, and so you trade that pick away and you turn Amari Cooper into John Ross or Corey Davis or Philip Dorsett, or pick any other first round receiver in the last 10 years.
100%, tons of busts. But I feel that John Gruden, like, he's put himself in a good place as far as to build the team that he wants to build. Like, to keep these guys that are, like, you know, about to come up to their free agency contract, you know, like, about to come into free agency, and pay them big money to be on losing squads, I don't think helps you do what you're trying to do here. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're trying to just totally revamp your roster, get who you want to get in there, and build it the way you want to build it.
I I think the whole thing's a disaster, and his time is ticking.
Do you think Jordy and any other veteran gets shipped off at this point before deadline?
No, I don't think any of them get shipped off. I think they're there to like assist in the tank. But the thing is that Gruden has put out the image that he wants to win games and he cares about the team. He does not.
Yeah, because
he wants to get rid of it. Like he is. There's no happier person than Marshawn Lynch is on IR right now than fucking John Gruden. Like he hates him. He hated Amari Cooper. He hated everybody that was affiliated with their prior like identity as a team. The only person he likes is fucking Carr, who sucks. Carr, that's what I say.
Carr,
Derek, John.
Carr, I. You know what? There's not like a ton of quarterbacks coming out this year. So why push the issue? You have a, I think he's solid, David Carr. Like he hasn't played well this year, but this year's a mess. You know, like he has played very well in the past. So like he has at least the a pass you can be like, okay, he can play well, put in the right positions. So like I wouldn't just ship him off, but like Jordy Nelson, like I say, if he has a decent game and you can get like a fifth round pick for that guy, you might as well just ship him off too. He's helping in the tank, if anything. Like Martavis Bryant, get rid of his ass.
I can't remember what his contract situation is, if it was 1 year or not.
I doubt he signed like much guaranteed money, even if it was multiple years.
Remember.
You want to talk briefly about how we see Amari with the Cowboys this year?
Well, that was the next part of it. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, all right.
So yes, he does.
All right. So nice transition, Watts. seamless.
Broadcast school really paid off, you know?
Yeah. Okay, so Amari Cooper on Dallas Cowboys. I think that obviously it's an upgrade for the Cowboys compared to who they had. I think it most benefits Gallup because now he's not going to, you know, get that number one coverage. Was he even getting the number one coverage? Who even knows?
I mean, by default, I guess.
Dak, I'm not a big Dak Prescott believer. You know, like, I don't like their coach or their how they play offense. The fact that they don't pass the ball to Ezekiel Elliott's insane to me. So like, I'm kind of out on that offense, but I think that Amari Cooper is going to be more of the same just on Dallas. I don't think he's going to be better going to Dallas because when he did get the ball thrown to him, it was by David Carr. I think David Carr is better than Dak Prescott as far as like a passer. Like, what about you guys?
All right, I'm going to take the opposite side of this. I think Amari Cooper's biggest problem this year has simply just been targets. The two games he's gotten more than five targets, he had 10 catches for like 130 yards and 11 catches for like 160 yards. He had monster games. The problem is in the other four games, he didn't get the ball thrown to him. He had two games at one target, one game with two targets, and like one game with three targets.
But is he like
throw the ball to, he can't throw the ball to himself.
Yeah, but is he running wide open and not getting the ball, or is he was just covered those games?
So the advanced analytics will tell you his – bless you, Evan. You need a tissue? The advanced analytics will tell you that his average yards per separation is like top 10 in the league. He's averaging like 3 yards per separation on his routes. So that's my next point is that Dak Prescott, one of his biggest criticisms as a quarterback is he refuses to throw the kind of 50-50 balls and – he doesn't throw guys open, and the reason he wasn't a good fit with Dez is Dez doesn't get separation from anyone anymore. Dez wins in the air, He needs a quarterback that's going to trust him to do that and throw that ball when he's one on one and the DB is right on him. That's not Dak. That's not the kind of quarterback. He needs to wait for the guy to get open via the route before he throws the ball to him. So I think in that sense, I think he will be a good fit with him. And the biggest thing is. I don't think Dak's a great quarterback. I'd say talent-wise, him and Derek Carr right now are probably close to even. I don't really care about that. To me, if you can guarantee me Amari Cooper's going to get 10-plus targets a week now, which there's no reason he shouldn't because there's no other competition on this team, and they just invested a first-round pick into him, then if he's going to get 10-plus targets a week, I'll take it. I'll guarantee you he's no worse than a wide receiver two. He's getting 10-plus targets a week.
What?
Yeah, my take on this is that there's very few receivers who are traded midseason who have any impact whatsoever. Like he'll be an impact player, but I'm kind of with Katz on this one that it's a net neutral at least in year one. Next year, perhaps, so he'll raise up and he'll be a more impact player. But he's got to learn the playbook. He's got to get chemistry with Dak and the rest of the receivers. So I'm not like. I'm definitely not bullish on him in the short term, but in the long term, I'd be optimistic on his output.
To his advantage, he got traded during the bye week, so he's going to have two solid weeks of practice before he enters the game. The only problem is the Dallas Cowboys. They always like. I think that like they're like just a badly run organization. I just don't like their coaching. If he would have went to like the Patriots, like Josh Gordon did, like
the Eagles or some shit like that, yeah.
Like they just know how to use a guy. Like either they try you out and you just don't work, they cut you, or you produce. Like look at Josh Gordon. His life is in a mess in Cleveland. It's a world of hurt. And now he's like week to week, he's becoming more and more of a productive player there. You know, like it's just they just know how to do things right. Well, Dallas, I think Jerry Jones is just going to be like, yo, Dak, I don't care what happens. Just throw the goddamn ball to Amari Cooper. And Dak's just, I don't know. I just don't like him like that.
I mean, I agree with you, but that's all I want from a fantasy perspective. And
100%.
I mean, I'm much happier with him in Dallas than I would have been with him in Philly or New England as a fantasy owner.
It can only get better, you know. Like his situation in Oakland was terrible. Like either he
went to a team where he's clearly the number one target.
He was clearly the fucking number one target in Oakland, bro.
Agreed. I mean,
they didn't treat him like that.
Disaster. I mean, yeah. I'm just saying. Whereas, like, you know, I would feel less confident about his target share if he went to like Philly or New England or something like that.
Well, New England, obviously, you know, you're just going to be in the mix. But like. If he would have went to Philly, I think he would have been in a worse shape.
He'd be behind Ertz and Alshon.
He'd be in worse shape than he was in Oakland just because of like the randomness. He'd be like kind of like Watkins on KC. You know, he's just an extra option. All right, so let's get into the review of last week in the old Miller's League, the League of Extraordinary Fantasy Gentlemen. Couple big weeks here. I'm at my league. Just one sec. All right. We had I lost again. It's not looking good for me. I've had three straight. I lost to Feinberg. Feinberg torched me by like 90 something points. I'm on a losing streak, man. I'm falling out of the playoffs. Not looking good. So I ended up losing that game. Then we had Cheese beating James. Shaolin didn't make it. Sorry, Watts. Miller kicked the shit out of Donk. Woods lost. Kuhn's got to be the story of the year. Kuhn is what, 5-2? He's in second. He's in third place. I mean, a couple of bad weeks by either you or Feinberg, he could find himself in a bye. Like, the Kuhn train just keeps on rolling. He beat Woods. Steve pulled that one against Herman, who's getting that good pick for Donk, and Saquon the Chef. Wiz, what's going on with your team, man? You lost to the Launchpad here. Like, it seems like you're in just a bad way this year.
I am. I've gotten no luck on my side. It's just been one horror story after another. But I'll say this, okay? I'm playing Steve this week. It's a fucking must-win game. There's signs all over the locker room of fucking Steve talking shit. It's over for this guy. I got a lot of positive matchups. So we're going to go 3-5 and we're going to start getting hot now. If not, you know, we're going to start thinking about 2020. So that's where I'm at. It's been a brutal year. It's not over. Got a lot of fight in this squad.
So let's just go quickly into this upcoming week. I'm facing Launchpad. It's a big game for me because the winner of this stays in the playoff. Stays in the playoff bracket. Loser is not looking good. He's already up 28-0 on me because he had Kenyon Drake do work and I believe his kicker, Fairbath. Yeah, Fairbath. He was talking so much shit about Fairbath. Fairbath had 6 points. Like, shut up. we have Will Fuller in two first. And by the way, we lost Will Fuller for the season. I never seen a play though where the defending player had three separate flags. It was it a contact downfield, defensive holding, and pass interference, and he blew out the guy's knee. So I was like, I guess that's a terrible amount of penalties, but you did take care of your receiver for the game, so good on you, guy.
You know what? There's only so long Will Fuller could withstand the cheese Malloy.
Yeah, he's super injured. I feel bad for him because like he got this injury in what? It's like basically the end of October, November. His week one status could be in question coming into next year.
For sure.
So, like, you know, hopefully he doesn't miss any time next year, but, you know, you never know with these kind of injuries. You have Miller, you're going against who do you guys think that Launchpad or myself is going to win this week? Launchpad's up by 28 already.
I'm taking your Cats. Fuck Launchpad.
Thank you.
Ditto. I don't have anything in front of me right now to legitimize that, but fuck Launchpad.
I'm going
to
take Launchpad in this. My team is in a downward spiral. I need some help. Donk or Cheese?
I guess Cheese.
Yeah, I got to go Cheese.
Cheese been rolling. Miller or Kuhn?
Ooh.
I'm going to go with...
And the defending champ. I'm still going Miller. The Kuhn's team is for gays. He's got 20 more points than me, and I'm fucking 2-5, and he's 5-2. I looked at these numbers. I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
I'm
going
to go Kuhn. Kuhn plays the best defense in fantasy football. He's every week in, week out, he's got the better lineup for some reason. Don't know why. I'm going Kuhn, Miller. That's the first time I've ever picked against you.
As well you should. I'm picking Kieran too, man. You can't stop this guy. He's unstoppable. So you know something's gonna happen. Like half my team's gonna get ruled out like right before the game starts.
Injuries, yeah, someone's blowing out a knee.
Todd Gurley gets arrested for like murdering somebody.
Todd porn.
Gurley like misses the bus.
All right. On the scale of things, it would be worse to me if my player got arrested for child pornography than a double homicide. Like, I'd much rather my player go down for a double homicide than child
100%,
pornography.
100%.
Yeah, it's like, fair. You were playing that? That guy was on your team, bro? Look at that child porn. Ugh. We have Herm versus Woods, the guy we do not talk of.
Tank Bowl.
Well, Herman and Tank Bowl guy had played Watson. Watson had 31 points. I don't think the rest of Shane Falco's team scoring 31.
Thank you, Herman. Appreciate it. Helping me out. This is Herman's biggest game of the year.
Yeah, to help out hit Donk's pick or not.
It's me versus Donk.
Yeah. It's actually you versus Donk in the number one overall pick bowl. I'm taking Herman on this one. He got a 31-point game out of Watson.
Oh, Herm.
How'd you get that number one? Was that from CJ Anderson?
No, I traded it in the fucking Zeke trade. Yes.
Oh, Jesus.
No, I wasn't involved.
It keeps on giving. Jesus, right?
Yeah, it's looking real bad now at this point. It was Zeke, Tate, Sony Michel, and then it's looking like the number one overall pick in next year's draft.
Oh, my goodness.
Fingers crossed.
Oh, God.
For Anderson, for Allen, AR-15, the Saints guy. All right, we got Wiz versus Feinberg. I'm going with – I'm sorry, not Feinberg.
I'm playing Steve.
Steve. It says making Feinberg second place again. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Wiz, bro. Shaolin forever.
I'll take Watts. You're due.
Mm-hmm. I am due. And Steve is shook, so, you know, we're ready to roll.
And, Steve, you may say you don't listen to this podcast, but I know you listen to this podcast.
He definitely does because I spoke to him before because I was like, oh, I can't go to Cheese's thing because of and he was like, are you gonna pick against me? I'm like, yeah, of course I'm picking myself. Like, he said, but you're not gonna win. I'm like, all right, whatever. But yeah, I'm gonna win. You can book it.
Oh man, so that's we got some.
I'm
knowledge.
Guaranteeing victory.
He definitely listens to the podcast. It's probably number one on his dial. That's why he makes fun of us for the low budgetness and you guys suck.
Once a day, every day.
Yeah. He's just mad that we weren't like, hey, Steve, you do this for a living. Do you want to be involved? Like, nah. All right. Last match of the week, it's Shaolin again. James versus Feinberg. Feinberg's been on a roll, man. I'm going Feinberg all the way. Feinberg going 8-0.
Yeah, I guess I gotta go Feinberg. He's got all Chiefs, and the Chiefs just are insane. They're a juggernaut, and that's what it is.
He's so lucky that's his stupid favorite team.
Yeah.
Yeah. Too bad he's not a Titans fan. Yeah, same.
Okay. Now the moment you've all been waiting for is the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen Fantasy League Power Rankings. We have last place. We have Woods. We have Herman in second to last place. And now, this is for the Tank Bowl. This is for last place, guys. So, next week, obviously, the rankings may move. We have Donk in third to last place in 10th. Watts in 9th. James in 8th. Me in 7th. Launchpad in sixth, Kuhn in fifth. I just can't put you higher, Kuhn.
You should be first.
Me? I should be first?
You should be first.
Oh, Kuhn should not be first. Kuhn's lucky he's in the playoffs. Cheese in fourth, Steve in third, Feinberg in second, and Miller in first. And all right, man, we're going to go over to Miller. And can you do my league or should I do my league?
I got nothing.
All right.
Why don't we do the picks, the spreads, and then we'll go into your league last to close out the show.
Reasoning behind that?
You don't want reasoning to hear- behind that is because I'm very excited about the fucking picks this week.
All right, so why don't we just take five more minutes and get rid of all the our fantasy league stuff.
I can take the notes, and I just can't wait to dive into them. So.
We're gonna end the show with that. Let's just go then to my league.
Okay, fine.
Let's get rid of all the fantasy stuff first. Okay, act like fine. You've been there before. Okay. All right, quick review of last week. Let's go little matchups here. James lost to me by 111 points. I beat Miller's scoring record. I crushed it, really. What'd you have, 203?
208, I think.
No, it was like 203.
I'll check that later.
I'll check that right now. I know a week ago. Oh, it was 203, like I said.
How many did you score, Cats?
I scored 214 points. 214. I didn't just beat that the high scoring record. I crushed it. It's not a big deal, but yeah, I beat James by 111. No biggie. Justin, back on the winning ways against Dan. Wild Dan, your team is in disarray. You're not looking good. These bye weeks are hurting. You lose, bro. Feinberg got beat on Monday Night Football by Watts, man. Watts came back on that last touchdown to Odell Beckham to ice that victory.
Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang.
Is good. That who won it?
That's the, yeah. The double Eli stuff won him the game because he only won by 5 points, right? Odell scored a 7-point touchdown. Like, it was like 7.1 points. That was the clincher in the game.
I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. I'm very proud of that victory. 5-2. Let's keep rolling, baby.
Yeah, man. Good on you, bro. You're rolling to victory. Cheese put up the new low score in the league, 81 points, which is honestly impossible. That's like a bad score in your league, Miller, where like you play defenses and kickers and not like real fucking players, and that's half point PPR as well. Like 81 points is a terrible score. I mean, I don't even know how you could even manage to do that. You guys.
Fucking.
I said what was it? I think 3 weeks ago when we recorded your house, Cats. Cheese is the biggest short sell team in this league. It was the cryptocurrency bubble. It was just ready to fucking pop. This team was fugazi. It's being found out. It's gonna be found out again this week.
Well, not if you ask Cheese, because Cheese bought into this year. He traded two first round picks, like. Two second round picks, Wendell Smallwood and Corey Clement and Baldwin for like Diggs, bro. Like Diggs is a good player, but like by no means is he elite. Like he's a solid wide receiver, like a high end wide receiver too. You know,
he's the best receiver on his own team.
I'm feeling myself.
I can see that for Antonio Brown, for your Odell Beckhams, for
Michael Thomas.
Yeah, like your elite receivers, but like again, yeah. I think that was just a lot to pay for that guy, especially in my draft in this league, because you have to play so many people that like even if you get a guy that's just playable, like it's a much better asset than it is in like a different league.
Has he won a game since the trade?
I can't comment on that. He lost this week by Launchpad doubled him up. He's Launchpad beat him by.
Well, we'll just say no then. We'll say he has not won a game.
Launchpad doubled up.
Yeah, man, it was actually a little bit more. Launchpad scored 163 and beat, and he only had 81, so it was like he doubled him up plus one.
Oh my god! That's a Launchpad for that one.
Miller kicked the shit out of Donk. Donk has been unlucky all year. He's been scoring decent amount of points and just facing a better team every week this year. Miller thought he had the high score of 186, but he got crushed by me by about 40. No big deal. And then Stefan pulling out the big victory against my division mate, Kuhn. Thank you, Stefan. Beat him.
What a fall from grace for Kuhn. Number one on the power rankings 3 weeks ago to losing to Stefan.
You know what? That was a layup. That was like your easy, like, okay, we get that out the way. We're good money. That was a Stephen victory, obviously. And he turned that into a debilitating loss that is now the division's very close. Let's go into this week. All right, so we have myself versus Cheese, the pretender. I'm already up by 23.5 points because of a little Kenyon drink on Thursday night. Guys, who do you think's going to win this game?
Cats.
Definitely Cats. Cheese's got the Stephon Diggs curse.
And my team's nasty. James versus Miller. James had played Watson, who somehow scored a point less in my league. How's that possible? He scored 0.4 less in my league than he did in yours.
I have no idea.
He had 31.
But he still scored a ton of points. I know that.
He had 31 even in your league and 30.96 in my league. I don't know why, but whatever.
That's very weird.
All right. So yeah, I'm gonna take Miller. I think Miller's team is nice. He's got Todd Gurley. Oh, you starting Raheem Morstead?
Dude, he's a must start.
He might start. He must start.
He must start.
No, Zach Ertz has been killing it.
Breida doesn't play.
I don't think Breida's playing.
I don't think he's playing either. He's on the wrong side of questionable, according to Roto.
Looking at his roster, well, actually, you have James playing. He's starting Rob Gronkowski. He's taking that risk right now that Gronkowski plays, so he may get the donut on Monday night from Gronkowski.
I think Gronk's going to play.
He's a game time decision.
My sources are telling me Gronk is playing.
Hopefully your sources are Gronk.
Sure,
man. I'm going to take Miller here. I think Miller pulls it out.
Yeah, I got Miller in this one. Sorry. Apologies to Shaolin, but I got to go with my main man.
Tang. Woo. Tang. Miller, obviously you're taking James.
I am taking James, but he's got a 35-point head start on me, so.
He's got a 30-point head start on you. 30.96 head point.
Yeah, whatever. I'm in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, Todd Gurley's going to break the fucking touchdown record this year. He's in trouble. Can I just segue real quick? Both Q and Watts made an awful mistake in not drafting Todd Gurley. I don't care how long DeAndre Hopkins plays for. He's just not worth the 5 amazing years that Todd Gurley's going to put up. Todd Gurley's going to outscore DeAndre Hopkins for the next 5 years by like 50 to 70 points, I feel. Because he's going to have like 20 touchdowns this year. There's no way Hopkins gets near that.
I disagree with you, Cats. I think they made absolutely the right choices.
For you. Watts, what made you pick Beckham instead of Gurley? When Kuhn gifted you Gurley, why did you take that gift and throw it to the back of the line and open something else?
Cats, you have an opinion about Gurley. I think Gurley has another 2-3 amazing years, and then there's going to be a steep decline. Odell Beckham is not going anywhere. He's 23 years old. He's in the best shape of his life.
I think he's older than 23.
Well, is he 24? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. All right, so maybe he's 24.
Wait, he blows out his knee, you dickhead.
Assuming he doesn't. I mean, Gurley's getting a lot of, a lot of
everything.
Touchdowns,
yards, receiving numbers.
A lot of mileage going on those legs, and he's a running back. And he fucking came into the draft on a fucking ACL.
No, he didn't.
He didn't do the agility drills in the fucking.
He tore his ACL.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm talking about the actual, like, our draft, not the draft that happened 4 years ago. I'm sorry.
I'm doing long term projections. We can all in the moment. I do a comprehensive analysis.
You know what's funny about
every play?
Didn't Odell, going into our draft, didn't Odell Beckham break his leg last year? Like, it wasn't he injured?
Ankle.
He broke his ankle. But
if you're in injury concerns, Odell Beckham was the more recent injury.
Yeah, but a fractured ankle is very different than a torn up knee.
It was like fucking 6 years ago he tore up his knee.
Yeah, unless he's Frank Gore. There's very few players. Like, there's Frank Gore, who came to the draft with like 2 torn up knees and like has survived. But generally speaking, and then Adrian Peterson has also made a very good recovery from a torn ACL. But on average, fucking ACL tears, not good long-term.
No, you're wrong on that. People come back from that routinely. Edgerrin James came back from that. The two people you just mentioned came back from that. I can't off the top of my
fucking thousands that haven't? Like,
well, I can't just think of anyone who blew out his knee in general right this moment. But like, if you probably name them, they probably did come back and were effective in the NFL.
Short term. All right. Well, we'll come back on another podcast and we'll revisit that. Okay.
Give me one person who blew out his knee and didn't come back good.
Darrell Revis.
When did he blow out his knee?
He blew out his knee with the Jets. He came back, played one or two good seasons.
Wasn't he a lockdown corner on the Patriots championship team?
One year. We're talking about long-term
prognosis. And wasn't he also nasty in the Tampa Bay Bucks?
No, not really. That's why the fucking Bucks got rid of him.
No, the Bucks got rid of him because he sucked. And they were like, all right.
We can have revisionist history all we want.
Revising history. The Jets got rid of him because the Jets are terrible. Like, the first year back, he probably wasn't amazing. And, like, they're like, oh, let's get rid of this guy. And no, actually, I think they let him go through free agency. They didn't trade him or anything.
Next week, I'll have a list prepared.
He had lots of week to do his homework.
All right. Yeah. I'll give you a week. Next matchup is Launchpad, the fake out artist, versus Wild Dan. I'm saying Dan goes back to victory here. I don't like Launchpad's team. It's Pretenders. He's got two old quarterbacks, and that's basically it. He's got awful running backs. He's starting Latavius Murray and Jalen Richard this week. Danny Amendola. Your team's whack. You guys?
I kind of think Latavius Murray and Jalen Richard are pretty good starts this week, to be quite honest.
Latavius Murray is not a bad start. I don't like Jalen Richard. Who even knows what's going to happen in the backfield?
He 15 points in a PPR this week. That wouldn't shock me. He gets 5-6 catches, 50 yards on receiving, and then who knows what else. I'm going to go Launchpad. Also, Wild Dan's in my division, so.
Okay, but are you cool with having Jalen Richard as your RB2?
I would be comfortable starting Jalen Richard as an RB2 in PPR.
All right. Watts?
I'm going Launchpad.
You guys suck, man. I'm going Wild Dan. Oh, actually, you want? Because we're in different conferences. That's why I'm really rooting against Launchpad, and he was like talking mad shit to me. So fuck Launchpad. Stefan. Up 24-0 on Donk. This was a very controversial game. Donk has accused Stefan of tanking with playing.
Did he get those 24 points from Tyler Irvin?
No, he got from Will Fuller. But all right, here's the deal: DJ Moore and Tyler Irving. I don't think that there was that much of a difference between the two players where you could like call. Tanking out. Like, Tyler Irving was supposed to have, like, the Kiki Kuti role last night. Or 2 nights ago.
You love me.
Yeah, that song's terrible. But Donk was calling straight up tank. What do you guys think? I know, Miller, you voice your opinion where it's like, once you get past a certain number of players ranked, like, they're all kind of coin flips.
Dude, I'm with the league on this one. I support the league. And new cats, as I mentioned, unless it's like a very obvious thing where you're starting a player on bye or is injured and clearly cannot play, yeah, you can't start getting into subjective. Well, this guy could have done this and this guy could have done that. You can't get into that. Let's keep it as objective as possible. So I'm with the league.
The main reason why I shot Donk down with that because I am not going to fucking micromanage your like 10th and 9th guys you start. Like, exactly. At that point, it opens up a whole cans of worms for me because that's all, like, opinion-based where it's like, oh, DJ Moore's a better start than Tyler Irving when they're, like, in the same fucking group of – if you're starting either of them, you're not looking good with either of them.
Right.
So I'm not getting into that. But if you don't play a guy like Julio Jones for, like, a Tyler Irving, then that's obviously a tank. You're not playing an elite player. So, like, that was my whole argument with that. I'm going to take Stefan because fuck Donk. Boom. He dunks in my division. I don't want no shine for Donk.
I'm taking Donk because fuck Stefan.
I'm taking Donk because Stefan's team blows.
And you have to understand something. Donk loves rules and he loves like fucking finding little loopholes and things like that. I'm surprised he's never become a lawyer. It's not too late, Donk. If you're listening to this podcast, you can take my spot because I don't really fucking like it. But
well, Donk was triggering me because he was like, okay, well, now we know the line of what we can do. And I'm like, why you got to put it like that, asshole? Like, all you got to say is like, oh, all right. Like, if it's like a guy who's rated that low, it's not a tanking, so it's not a big deal. But like I feel like Donk eventually, he won't because he's not like a dishonest guy like that. But I feel Donk's gonna try to like play me at one point and like just try to test my fucking
test. The bar has been set. We now know if you want to sit like the 8,700th ranked player for the 900th ranked player, you can.
I'm fine with that.
The whole league's gonna go into disarray. Chaos.
It's gonna be insane. Are people starting Hayden Hurst over Gerald Everett? I mean, come on.
Hayden Hurst over Gerald Everett. If you want to start the tight end 26 over the tight end 30, you're fucking tanking, bro.
I love the names, by the way. Two possibly the oldest names ever. Hayden Hurst and Gerald Everett.
Both these Hayden guys Hurst is like, a rookie, bro.
They were fucking started the NFL like in the 1940s.
Like a leather helmet.
Isn't Hayden Hurst a rookie? Oh, you mean they sound old. They sound old.
They sound old, yeah.
Also, Hayden Hurst is old. He's like 26-year-old
rookie. He's old for a rookie. He's like 24. He's like a super-duper senior or something like that. He had no eligibility. Our next matchup, we have Feinberg versus Justin. Feinberg's just been perpetually losing in my league, man. I'm going to go Justin here.
Yeah, Feinberg's problem is he doesn't have enough Chiefs. I got to go with Herman.
Oh, yeah. What was that? And he's like, I'm going to take a different route in this thing. I'm not going to draft any of my Chiefs. That was weird.
Yeah. Too many Indians, not enough Chiefs.
Yeah.
That's as the phrase goes. I'm taking Herman as well.
And our last matchup of the week is Wiz versus Kuhn. Wiz, I need Kuhn in the fourth quarter. Did you dirty with Hopkins? 26-point deficit here. I need you to come back. Fuck Kuhn. Fuck him twice on Sunday. I'm going Wiz here.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Watts.
When you two guys pick me, I can't be like, oh no, I'm not picking myself. No, Kuhn, fuck you, Kuhn. You got lucky in the other league. You're paying the price in this league. Your team sucks. We're coming for you. Let's go.
Fucking scooter riding bitch.
Get back on your scooter, pussy.
I know it's a little bit early, but I want to just toot my own horn here for the strategies in the draft. I didn't draft any quarterbacks, and it has zero effect on me. I'm the highest scoring team in the league. Just saying.
Yeah, it's 7 weeks into a dynasty league.
Half the season.
You think it's too early?
I'm all in, baby. I'm winning this year, baby. I'm going all the way.
And you might. It's still a dynasty league.
Hey, look, man. And my players are young, baby. All right. What's these rankings at? I know this is cut to the chase. I'm at 7.
No. We've done some revised rankings because we want to have some legitimacy in this on this podcast here and worldwide.
It's only going to be funny if you put me lower somehow. If I'm at like 8.
Just relax. All right. Okay? Number 12, Stefan. Number 11, Feinberg. Number 10, James. Number 9, Donk. Number 8, Launchpad. Number 7, Wild Dan. Number 6, the biggest tank ever, is Cheese. Number 5, Herman. Number 4, me. So, Cats, are you happy you're out of 7?
I don't care. I'm fine. I'm actually mad I'm not out of 8.
Because with great power comes great responsibility, as they say. So, watch out, okay? Mm-hmm. Number 3, Kuhn, because that was a big loss. So drum roll, please. It's only you or Miller, the two hosts of this show. Who's going to be number one? Taking the top spot this week, coming out of the number 7 spot, is Cats.
Number one ranked?
You got the number one ranking. You got
7-1. Started from the bottom, now we're here.
you got the most points in the league. You're 5-2. I mean, I can't. How could this podcast have any legitimacy if we kept you at 7? Miller, you're at number 2. You have the second most points in the league.
Mm-hmm. I do?
Yep.
Huh. Yeah, we both. Cheese is like, on Sunday, he was saying, like, I was saying I got the most points in the week. He's like, well, I still got the most points in the league. I was like, no, you didn't.
I think he's like 5th now or something. Those numbers are going to continue to go down.
He's Cheese, at least
no,
3rd.
No one cares about you, Cheese.
Miller and me both passed him by, like, but we didn't just pass him. We, like, drove by and, like, didn't stop to like see if he was okay. He was just
you lapped him and then you mooned him on the way. Yeah. And gave him the finger as you lapped him.
Yeah, man, threw garbage on him. All right, man. So we're gonna get to the picks here. Who did any of you have the games in front of you?
I have him.
I gotta get my coin. One sec.
Okay.
Why doesn't he just leave it there?
Yeah, it's a great point.
Get some water, Ev.
The boys still aren't sleeping, huh? When they go to bed.
When I'm done with this.
I got myself my coin.
What do you want to eat?
I would like some pizza, maybe, you know? Okay, we got the coin. We are ready to pick them. All right, Watts.
Like a cheese stick or something?
I'll take a cheese stick.
We get one.
Damn. This is authentic radio right here, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, this is kids. This is my last podcast before a child on Tuesday. So next week.
I don't have any.
Gonna have the baby here.
That's all right, I think.
Oh, next week you're gonna have a fucking kid. Noah's already got two kids. You both have wives. Wow, am I having to do a solo podcast here? I don't.
No, man, we'll always be here with you, man. And
we're gonna branch off into dad chats podcast, parenting tips.
It's gonna be called From the Garage Podcast.
Parenting hacks.
All right, Watts, you got the games for me, bro? You got three pages of notes, no games.
All right. First, Philadelphia laying 2.5 against Jacksonville in London Town. Who you got?
This is a 9:30 start, which I hate. I don't like the travel. And Jacksonville always kicks ass in London, man. They are historically dominant. Philly has been playing well. They dropped that game against Carolina. But ultimately, the coin picks my thing. So,
what's the spread here?
2.5.
Who's the home team?
It's in London. Jags are home.
I got the Eagles. I just talked all that shit. All right, yeah. So let me revise my thing. The Eagles are the former champs. Carson Wentz has been getting better every week. Alshon Jeffrey's been playing well. The fucking Jags are in disarray. That defense stinks as of late. Let's go Eagles.
Yeah, Miller, who you got?
I know you said 2.5. Who's getting the points?
Jacksonville's getting 2.5.
Jacksonville's getting 2.5. I'm going to take Philly.
Okay. All right. I'm taking the Jacksonville Jaguars, a.k.a. the London Jaguars, and I'll tell you why. This is basically a home game for Jacksonville. Nobody has more wins in London than Jacksonville. God Khan was trying to buy Wembley Stadium.
Wait, talking about Scott Khan, the actor?
No, whatever the fuck.
Jaguars owner.
Yeah, the Jaguars owner.
Why is it just name dropping people now?
I'm name dropping people because this. I got 3 pages of fucking research here.
The dude from Ready to Rumble.
and this is the Eagles' first game abroad. Okay.
Ever.
Wow.
Teams
on their first game abroad, 0-9.
Okay? Really?
Yes. So I'm taking the Jags in this one with the points.
Next.
All right, hold on. I'm just writing it down too at the same time. Okay. Baltimore.
All right. No more
time. Laying 2.5 at Carolina.
Man, you know I'm going with Cam Newton. The guy, he's been playing very well this year. MVP-type play. I like that defense. Olsen's back. They've been rolling. Who are they playing against?
Baltimore.
Baltimore took a rough loss last week. First extra point ever missed by Justin Tucker. I think that's going to get in his head. He misses a crucial kick one way or another. Baltimore loses. I'm taking Carolina.
Sorry, Waz. Points on here one more time.
Okay, sure. Baltimore laying 2.5 at Carolina.
So Carolina's home dog here?
Home dog, yes.
Give me Carolina.
Why are they a home dog?
I don't know.
Well,
like, if anything, you should figure they would be like -1 Carolina, and they would just like pick.
Yeah.
My notes here, very fishy line that Carolina's getting points at home. Carolina's a good team.
You pick Baltimore?
I'm picking Baltimore in this game. Baltimore has the #1 ranked defense, both by traditional statistical methods and by DVOA.
What are traditional statistical methods where like an old guy just sits there and evaluates it?
Like a lot points per game.
Points per game, counting stats, that sort of thing. And what's interesting about Carolina is they are the lowest team in big plays this year, which used to define their offense. They are bottom five in plays of 20 or more, and they're last in plays of 40 or more. So I'm going to take Baltimore in this game, laying those points away. I think something like 65% of the money's on Carolina, which makes me really want Baltimore even more.
So do you think this line changes by game time?
It could.
Like, you think it goes back to Carolina?
It's so late in the week.
But like 65% of the money's on Carolina.
Yeah, but it's probably already happened. The line would have changed already.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Hermans out there.
It may have changed. I don't know where it opened at.
There's a lot of Hermans out there that bet at like 12:55. You know, they're just trying to put the money on the game.
There's the lines between Saturday night and Sunday morning. Lines don't move more than like a half a point usually.
All right. What's up next?
Also, I think DJ Moore is gonna have a huge week this week.
Ooh, hot take. Is that your hot take?
No, he's only saying that because of Donk, and like Donk's gonna be like, I told you, it was tanking. Like, it has any fucking difference. Like, DJ Moore's, like, best week was, like,
start him in my week, Cats. You got to start him, man.
I'm not starting.
You guys ready?
Well, you know, I'm not starting because he's my taxi squad. If I bring him up, I'm just boned. Like,
you ready for the next game? This is one we're all going to get excited about. I think we're all going to be unanimous in. Cleveland +8 at the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I'm taking Cleveland.
Of course you are.
Of course.
Why?
Why? Because I love Cleveland, and I love Baker Mayfield. And it's been a rough start, and it hasn't been great, and they've had their ups and downs. And Hugh Jackson was the first coach in the NFL, and they've gotten boned. They should have won two games. They've gotten boned by the refs twice. It's absolute bullshit. And the Steelers' defense is eminently exploitable. Okay, throw it in the garbage.
Yeah.
I am taking the Steelers. Big Ben don't lose to bitches like the Browns. I am so sick of this woe is me shit from the Cleveland Browns. Like, oh, we should have won this. We should have won that. Win the fucking game in regulation. All right.
Yo, but some defender smashed Baker Mayfield in the head, helmet to helmet, when he was running the ball last week. And the ref threw the flag and then picked it up. And he was like, oh, there's no foul for helmet to helmet contact because the guy was a runner, man, which is not a rule.
Man,
he just made it up.
Look. Don't look at the refs to win you the game. You win the game, all right? I'm not hearing that shit. They had multiple chances in overtime to win that shit. They had multiple. They didn't do dick until like the end of that the fourth quarter against I forget who they played last week. They lost. It was the Bucks. They lost to the Bucks. The Bucks stink. The Cleveland Browns stink. I'm not hearing no more on this. I'm going Steelers.
Did you even flip the coin on that one? I did.
It came up heads twice. Because I flipped it, it came up heads, and I was like, oh, the coin didn't know who was playing first. Then I did it again, it came up heads again. Coin double-picked the Steelers.
Okay. I'm taking Cleveland as well. Since Baker Mayfield has been quarterback, they're 5-1 ATS. And the one game they lost was at Oakland, which was just a total fucking job by the refs. It was absurd. So
you
take
Cleveland?
6-0 against the spread with Baker Mayfield as quarterback. And if you want another hot stat coming your way, ready for this? Pittsburgh, 1-6 ATS in their last 7 coming out of a bye. Give me Cleveland with those 8 points, baby.
What are the stats on Cleveland coming out of a bye in the last 7 years?
It's
probably 0-7. I'm just saying.
All right. Next game is Denver +9.5 at KC.
I'm taking KC.
I'm taking Denver. you know what, man? Denver, how many points was it?
9.5.
Here's my problem. The coin picked Denver, and I got to argue for it. But I want to say that, like, the Chiefs are on revenge tour. They tortured the Bengals, dude. For like, they're up 28 points with like 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and they are throwing the ball downfield, being like acting a fool, being like, "Man, fuck you, motherfucker, we're putting another one in." But I got Denver. I say Casey Keenum. He's worried about his job a little bit. He puts on some points. He breaks the spread. Late touchdown. You know, they win. They the Chiefs win by 8 instead of 9.5, whatever it is. and they get out of Dodge with the win.
I'm taking KC. They are 7-0 ATS this year. They're the only undefeated team. And until they fucking prove otherwise, I'm going to fucking take them. Honestly, every game, not only have they covered by almost a touchdown. Like, it's insane how good this team has been.
KC in the over, I think, has hit every week.
Yeah, exactly.
The over is hit for sure. They put up like 30 points a game.
That's 100% right.
I want to say that Andy Reid was disrespected by Marvin Lewis at some point, because there was no reason in that fourth quarter that any of the starters were on that field, and they were aggressive. They were throwing downfield. They were fucking running the ball like in sweeps and all types. They were still running their real offense instead of just like, I've never seen a team like the Bengals on Sunday night. They just wanted to get out of there. They were like, please, just down the ball. We'll down the ball. We'll get the fuck out of here. And like, the Chiefs were like, nah, homie, fucking, we're gonna put some more points on you, man.
All right. The next game is the New York Jets getting 8 points at the Chicago Bears.
All right.
Cap's gonna legitimize. I can see by your body reaction, you're gonna have to legitimize a Jets pick right now.
Man, the Bears offense is probably gonna be without Keenan Allen.
Definitely gonna be without Keenan Allen.
100%. Maybe even Allen Robinson. Robinson might not be on the field either.
He's going to play, I think.
So, who knows? I think the Jets maybe – it's going to be maybe a shootout. That Bears D is a little overrated. Sam Darnold going to maybe find Robbie Anderson once or twice. Who knows? I'm going to the Jets.
All right. Robbie Anderson, doubtful. Probably not playing. The Jets wide receivers, as I have them right now,
Rashard Matthews
and Andre Roberts, who weren't even with the team in the beginning of the year, and Jermaine Kearse. And they also without Tremaine Johnson, who was a very, very good corner that they got in the offseason from the Rams.
And no Bilal Powell.
He's done for the year. The Jets are just too banged up. I actually think the Jets are a better team than a lot of people think, but not with this Jets fucking roster. So I'm taking the Chi-Town Bears with laying those 8 points. They'll win by at least 10. Miller?
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what Watts said here. And, you know, originally I kind of want to lean Jets in this. I think the Bears are a little bit of an overrated team, both on both sides of the ball. I know Khalil Mack got started off that hot start with fumble sacking every week and whatever. But they've kind of come back to earth a little bit. And Mitch Trubisky, I don't think he's back by any stretch of the imagination. The Jets have a pretty good defense. With all that said, I have a hard time any amount of points. They have no weapons. I think they can win by.
Okay. Miller picks the Jets. All right, Watts, what's up next?
I picked the Bears, Cats.
He picked the Bears. Well, you were cutting out a lot.
You worked out a little bit, but yeah, no, Miller definitely took the Bears. All right.
Let it be known, Miller took the Bears.
Seattle, this was the toughest game for me this week. Seattle +3, getting 3 points at the Detroit Lions.
You guys want to start?
I'll start it up. I'm going to take the Lions at home. I'm going to lay the 3 points. Seattle's not a very good road team. They're barely a good team at all this year. Detroit has looked a lot better the last few weeks. They've found the running game. Cats hates the Detroit running game. Kerryon Johnson is back-to-back, I believe, 100-yard games.
Well, that's stemming from you offered me Kerryon Johnson for Zach Ertz.
And okay. My only point being you consistently said you hate the Detroit running game.
I do hate it. I'd rather Zach Ertz blow his knee out this week than get involved in the Detroit run game.
Okay. With that said, Detroit's been running the ball a lot. Stafford's been throwing the ball less. It's been working for them. The offense has been on the field longer. Defense has been off the field. They've been playing well recently, and I'm going to pick them against 3 points is manageable, I think. You know, that's what the home team should get anyway, so neutral field, pick them. I'll take Detroit over Seattle all day here.
I'll go with Detroit. Detroit, man, things are falling all right with Detroit. That division – not too winnable, but I think they can maybe sneak into a wild card. Detroit over. I like Detroit this week. I don't. I just some reason I like Detroit. The coin picked it.
The coin said that too.
Yeah. I can't make up. I have nothing to make up the argument. I don't know why they're going to win. The coin picked it. I'm back in the coin.
I'm taking Detroit as well. This is, I think, our first unanimous pick. I think it's incredible that Detroit lost their first game of the year to the Jets, got worked at home, and then fucking went on the road and lost to the Niners. And now we're here.
Whoa, time out. They lost to the Jets and the Niners?
That's the first two games of the year.
Yikes.
Yeah, and then they smacked the Patriots around.
Yeah, they smacked the Patriots and have not looked back since.
They've won every game since then?
A real deal. What?
They won every game since the
Yep.
Wow, you lose to probably two teams that are going to be in like the top 10 picks, and then you beat the Patriots, who are going to probably be in the Super Bowl. Like, wow.
They've been on a run since. So, I'm going to go with Detroit. Also, all three fucking road games Seattle played, they have not covered. Their run game's too inconsistent, so I'm going with them. Next game is Tampa Bay.
What time? Just one more thing about the Seattle game. Would it shock you if Seattle won? I just want to say that, like, Seattle, no matter how bad they are, Pete Carroll and the Seattle Seahawks are just in games. You rarely see them get.
They are a tough team. They have not been blown out once this year. Mm-hmm. I looked at this earlier today. I think their biggest loss was 11 points at the Cowboys. And it was a low scoring game. So they are a gritty team. So, and they're coming off a bye. So I would not be shocked to see things go the other way. But I'm still sticking with Detroit.
All right, cool, man.
All right, next game is Tampa Bay getting 3.5 at Cincy.
Tampa Bay getting 3.5 at Cincy?
Yeah. What does the coin say, Cats?
The coin says revenge game for Cincinnati for getting disrespected. Yo, first of all, never, ever bet for the Cincinnati Bengals on primetime. Andy Dalton has shown time and time again that this guy does not show up in a nationally televised game. Like, fuck this guy forever. But 1 o'clock? Put your money on the Bengals, bro. Like, home slice, they got absolutely disrespected last week. Everyone thought that they were a solid team, that they were going to contend for a playoff spot / wild card maybe. Who knows? I like the Bengals in a fucking comeback game this week.
Miller?
I'm going to pick the Bengals as well. Tampa Bay is not a team I'm confident is any good. The Bengals, I think, started up the season hot. They've been bad recently. Two bad losses in a row to Miami and the KC. But I'm going to go back to the well on the Bengals here. I think they can get it done.
But the Bengals Tampa Bay just, you said they're not a good team, but they just beat your favorite Browns last week.
Yeah, I mean, sure. If you tell me the refs are going to help Tampa Bay win again, then maybe I'll pick Tampa Bay again this week.
All right. This was another tough game for me. This line actually opened at Cincy laying 6.
And on the bottom.
Oh, wow.
Laying 6. So this line moved a tremendous amount. And generally when I see that, I defer to Vegas on that one. But I'm not doing that this time. I'm picking Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay sacked Mike Smith, the coordinator, 2 weeks ago. And they had their best defensive performance against the Browns. If it was three, I think we're looking at a push with Cincy. But I think this half point is going to matter once again, because there's been so many games this year where 3 versus 3.5 has been a tremendous difference maker. I'm taking Tampa Bay with these points. I think there's enough offense there to make it happen and get it close. You know what
I mean? Their offense is legit. Their defense is whack.
Yeah.
You know what? Their offense is legit despite – I don't think Jameis Winston is any good. Like, he ends up being a good fantasy player, but I don't like him as a legit quarterback.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree with that. There's been, like, statistically no difference between Fitzpatrick and
– I think they've been worse.
Probably. He's kind of like, you know what? Trubisky's like white version of him, where like he's not the good quarterback, but like he ends up having a good fantasy day. So it's like you don't complain. Like you're like, all right, your team loses. He's not that good. But like, hey, man, he threw for like 2 touchdowns, ran for fucking 3, and like he fucking has 4 turnovers. All right, cool.
All right. You guys ready for the next one?
What's up next, Ben?
This is my stink, chewy line of the week. Washington laying a point at the New York Football Giants, both your guys' squads.
Who's home? Giants?
Giants are home.
The coin said Redskins, but I'm going with my – fuck that. Fuck that coin. I'm going G-Men. We selling off our team. I'll go with the coin. We're going Redskins here.
I just wrote down because I'm tracking the stats this week. I wrote down NYG Cats parentheses no coin. Now I have to cross it all out. Is that what you're telling
me? Yeah, yeah. I'm going with the coin. I can't disrespect the coin. My picks suck. Coin knows better. You know, look, Redskins are going to win because the Giants sold. They're selling off their team. They're in disarray. Eli's got dirt face all over the place. Odell Beckham, he's pissed. He's no good right now. He's good, but he's all mental. He's mentally out of the game. Saquon Barkley's a freak. He's gonna do what he needs to do. I couldn't tell you why the Redskins are gonna win. They're on paper whacker than the Giants somehow. Like, is there any position that you think that the Redskins are better than the Giants at? Really?
Quarterback.
Would you really want Alex Smith more than Eli Manning? Like, is it like that much of a difference? No. Mr. Checkdown, who gets sacked a lot. Like, who cares? Like, it's like the same guy. Except one guy has two Super Bowl rings. That's the only difference. I like the Redskins here because the coin said so, but I don't like it.
Yo, Mello, who do you like, bro?
I'm taking the Redskins here. I know it's a trap game. I know the Redskins are the kings of losing the games they should win. The Giants do the same thing, by the way. If it was the Redskins who had sold off everyone halfway through the week and they were terrible and the Redskins were and the Giants were coming into town, it'd still be a one-point game because the Giants could easily lose that game because these two teams, they do. I'm going to take the Redskins, man. The Giants are just disarray. Ogletree's terrible, but he's also injured. I don't know how
we just sold snacks for a fifth.
Yeah, I don't know.
And Eli Apple for – what did we get for Eli Apple?
They gave away a snacks and some apple, and they got peanuts.
No, but snacks we got a fifth for, and then apple we got what, a fifth for?
Conditional sixth or something. I don't know. Nothing. Garbage.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm going to have to go Redskins here. It could be an ugly, ugly low-scoring game, but I'll take the Redskins' D versus the Giants' offense.
I want to say if there's ever a game the Giants were going to win, it would be this one just because they'd be like, hey, we're done. We're out of it. We're trying to tank. Get that first overall pick. Let's win a game.
For sure, and you get Josh Norman versus OBJ this weekend. Should be interesting.
Yeah, Josh Norman probably going to – I think it's going to be a mixed bag of garbage.
Yes.
Well, your resident New York Jets fan is going to take the New York Giants this week. This was the stink line of the week, as I said before, and 70% of the money right now is on Washington, which just means Vegas is going to cash out. And part of this was I fucking love Pat Schumer going for fucking two last week. The statistics supported that. Mike, if you want to talk about the statistics in that when you're down – I guess it's 16 and you go for two.
14. If you're down 14, you should and you score a touchdown, you should go for two every single time.
Yes. Explain that.
Here's my problem with that. The people on Twitter, the mathematician people on Twitter who were explaining it to like the layman's people who just watch football were pricks about it. They weren't like, hey, look, this is why. They weren't answering the like question. They were more like, you're fucking stupid because you don't get the math behind it. And like,
No. I think that's totally deserved because these dinosaurs are hard-headed about it. And they say, I don't care what the math says. My gut says you should do this. Like, reject the principles that there could be a statistical answer to a question.
All right, Mike being one of those pricks obviously doesn't fucking care about. All right. So
and also the Monday night fucking football, that crew of fucking morons and buffoons.
Yeah. Like, oh my God,
Pat Schumer, how could he fucking sleep tonight? Like, this is so ridiculous. Like, go to hell. Like, you know, it's so absurd. And as fucking Herm Edwards would say, you play to win the game. Like, you can't.
I respect Pat Schumer. I respect Mike Vrabel. They're like, win the fucking game. I don't care. The only thing was I would have rather have gone for two this like when we were going in to try to score the second touchdown. You know what I'm saying?
But the point is you need to go for two the first time, not the second time.
Yeah, why? Well, what's the mathematics behind it? Can you explain me that?
Sure. So if you go for two the first time, it's 50-50 chance to get it. If you get it, you now the second time, and you go for two the second time, if you get it again,
all right,
then you've won the game.
I get it. Since you have two chances to go for two. One time you'll get it, and you'll even out and be at either you get it the first time and kick an extra point and win, or you'll get the second time, since it's a 50-50, and you'll tie it up. All
right, right.
I get it. That's all you dickheads had to say, instead of being like, you don't got the math.
You guys ready for the next one? That was good analytics discussion, by the way.
Yeah, you know what? But do you also have a problem with like Mike Vrabel going for two in the end of the game?
The only reason I didn't like that decision, I'm not sure what the math says there. Honestly, the only reason I didn't like that decision is just because they dominated the second half of that game so much that I'm pretty confident they would have won the game in overtime if they just tied it up.
Analytics aside, I think gut flow, I'd rather, like, if you're the Titans, you were owning that second half, the Chargers weren't doing anything. I like the fact that you were like, you know what, why give fate a chance? Because you have no guarantee that you're going to get the ball back, right? Let's win the game right here, right now. And they didn't get it. It was unfortunate, but like I like the fact that you're aggressive and you go to win the game right there. Because I think if more teams do that, I would say that the end result will be better. I think it's more in your favor to go for it than it is to not go for it.
I mean, you assume they have a 50-50 chance of getting it if they go for it.
From a 2-yard line, you don't have a 50-50 chance for getting a 2-point conversion. You just said.
I just said 50-50, right?
Yeah. So is it better to go to overtime? Because do you have less than a 50% chance? Because you have to win the point.
You technically have a 50-50 shot winning going into overtime as well.
Well, no, because you have to count in the flipping of the coin and getting the ball.
You don't know. No, you don't know. No, all that's it's all random luck. It's technically it's 50-50.
All right.
Let's go to the next game. I kind of like Vrabel's call there. You fucking play to win the game.
I think
you also in that situation you put the defense in a scared position, and I think just by being in that position at the end of the game and fucking showing your nuts, you win. But let's move on to this game is very, very interesting to me. Indy laying 3 at Oakland. Okay.
I'm sorry, what was the teams again? I'm sorry.
Okay, this game is home at Oakland. Mm-hmm. And Indy is laying 3.5. Just laying, they're laying 3.
Whew, I am taking the Indianapolis Colts. They actually aren't that far away from the division lead, even though they're doing terrible right now. The Raiders are in absolute disarray. They want to lose. They're trying to lose. The Colts just need to show them the way. I'm taking the Colts here.
Look at this. Check this out. This is not going to work on the radio, but check that out, okay?
Oh, look at that scooter.
You'll never guess where it is. It's in a children's toy magazine.
Can we just say to Scotty, who definitely is a loyal listener to the podcast, scooters are kind of whack, and you're kind of whack for using them, especially eating it on one and filming it and sending it to us. What's that about?
I'm going to follow that up by taking Indianapolis here. I'll lay the 3 points. Oakland's a disaster. The Colts are sort of okay. I mean, Oakland, 61% of Oakland's offense so far this season has come from Marshawn Lynch and Amari Cooper, who will not be playing Sunday. So, good luck.
I want to validate Miller's second-round pick of Andrew Luck. It ended up being pretty good. Did not think he was going to come back 100%, but he's been a solid QB one. Like, he's a top 6 QB, I feel.
Thank you, Cats. Yeah. Nice to hear. Mm-hmm. After all your Nerf football jokes all offseason.
I was just scared of the injury. I mean, to be fair, like, he hadn't played in 2 years, man. To draft him in the second round, I thought it was rough.
Yeah.
Like, statistically, everything says here to take Oakland, right? Like, Oakland's coming off a bye week. They're at home. The line opened at Pick'em. But I still can't fucking do it. I just can't fucking take Oakland. T.Y. Hilton's coming back, and I've been waiting for it for a long time. It's finally come. It's turn of the match. The Mac, Marlon Mack has just been.
Well, he hasn't practiced.
I knew he was when I drafted him 2 years ago. He's cashing out. So I'm taking Indy with those points. Statistically, everything says to do the opposite.
Watts, are you worried at all that Marlon Mack plays? Because he didn't practice like up until Friday.
He came back to practice Friday.
He's getting extra treatment. He's good.
I'm sure they're managing him. If you practice Friday, you're good.
Yeah. All right. San Fran. I'm sorry. San Fran is getting 1.5 at Arizona. Let's spend 30 seconds on this game because it's not worth it.
Give me Arizona. Give me Brian Leftwich. I think they're going to be reinvigorated under the new OC. And San Fran's trash.
Give me San Fran and Colonel Mustard. And I'll take a whole bunch of Beathard? What the fuck's that guy's name?
Yeah, Beathard.
Beathard. You know what? Kerry Kittle. I'm not Kerry Kittle. Is it Kerry Kittle?
George Kittle.
He plays for his fantasy people. Did you read that quote? He's like,
yeah, I did.
I tried a little harder because my fantasy coaches needed me. I was like, you know what? I respect that, man. Because these other players act like they don't care about fantasy. Kittle cares, bro. He wants his fantasy owners to be happy. I got nothing for Arizona. I don't care if you hire a new defensive coach, offensive coach. Byron Leftwich was no good at offense in the NFL. Why would you figure he'd be good at offense coaching it? Your team sucks.
Yes. Lest us all forget Andy Reid's glorious NFL career.
Yeah.
Andy
Reid? Let's move forward. I'm taking San Fran.
Bill Belichick. Or Bill Belichick's numerous NFL MVPs as a player.
For the same exact reasons Cats did. The reason I wrote for San Fran was Kittle's quote. So there you go. All right. This is going to be an interesting game. Green Bay getting 9 at the Rams.
Green Bay getting 9.
I'm sure Watts has this stat, but I got one for you. This is the largest point spread Aaron Rodgers has ever faced in his entire career.
As an underdog.
He's never been a 9-point dog. For that reason alone, and the reason I think Aaron Rodgers is one of the best quarterbacks in NFL history, I think they managed to keep it close. I'm going to take the Packers.
Aaron Rodgers gets the gang back. He gets his Geronimo Allison. He gets Randall Cobb back this week. He gets some more veteran guys. Jimmy Graham, Devontae Adams, three-headed running back game. He keeps it close. I say that the Rams blow the doors off him in the first half, and then they put that shit in neutral, and then Aaron Rodgers has a second half. Maybe like he throws 3 touchdowns in the second half, and they lose slightly. But I'm going – the points in Aaron Rodgers.
I'm taking the LA Rams in this game. And I'll tell you why. I really think it's Green Bay's defense. They're 24 DVOA. They're going to get the second best offense. Rodgers can't do it all. And I'm going to take the LA Rams. I think they're fucking – they are the best team in the NFL at the moment.
Can I ask you –
he has proved his entire career he actually can do it all.
Can I ask you guys a question? All right, right now, Todd Gurley's on pace to tie or break the touchdown record, right? But last year, who's the coach of that team? The Rams.
Sean McVay
sat everybody, and they ended up having a bad week against the Falcons in the playoffs. If they are scheduled to have everything wrapped up by week 16, does he do the same thing and he kind of sits his players for maybe the last week or two? Or does he let Todd Gurley and company try to go for that touchdown record and he plays his players and learns his lesson from last year?
I have no idea. I think it's too early to even speculate on it. But to your point, they came out flat against the Falcons in week one. So, you know, maybe you switch it up, right? Maybe they play him for a half in the last game or something.
Yeah, because I think they have juicy matchups, too. I think they're playing, like, the Cardinals in Week 16, which is the championship week. They should dominate the hell out of them.
Yeah.
I don't know who they're playing Week 17 because it doesn't matter because it's not fantasy.
All right, you want to move on to the next game? It's the Saints are laying 1.5 at the Minnesota Vikings.
This is Monday night or Sunday night?
Sunday night. It's the Sunday night matchup.
I'm sorry, Saints. Who's home?
Minnesota's home. Laying a point and a half.
Man, give me the Saints all day. Revenge game for the fucking miracle in Minnesota. Ain't no one going to miss a tackle at the end of this game. Let's give me Drew Brees and the Saints. They're rolling right now. They haven't lost a game since week one. Let's do it. Saints.
I'm going to take the Vikings. The Vikings defense the last few weeks has really been rounding into shape. Everson Griffin's back now this week. That's another big important piece of that defense. You know, I think the Vikings are showing why they were one of the best, why they were projected to be one of the best teams in the NFC. This will be a good game, though. It should be a powerhouse
this
battle
is what,
for kind of who's.
This is one of the first times. This is one of the first times Sunday night. I'm sorry, Watts.
Yeah, I'm really glad that the Rams are now being followed by the Vikings in, you know, back-to-back picks here, because that was my early hot take of the year.
Flaming.
I came in flaming hot with the Rams and the Vikings, and now they're back-to-back picks. So I'm taking the Minnesota Vikings. Here's a set. Since they opened the new fucking arena, 29.
U.S. Bank Stadium.
I hate that name.
29-11 ATS. I'm going to take these points, and I think it's going to be a shootout. The over-under is 53. I think we're going way over.
53?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Not for these two teams. You
think it's going to be like 28-33 or something like that? Or like you think it's going to be like that high scoring? Because these are two decent teams, like, you know?
Yeah, not defensively, though. I think –
No, defensively, the Vikings are one of the better teams, and even the Saints, like, they started off bad, but they're on pace. Like, last year, they were one of the better defensive teams.
Yes. The Saints are the number one defense against the rush, but they're bottom five against the pass, and Minnesota is similar. But they are getting Everson Griffin back.
Was this matchup flex, or is they were like, hey, we're going to put this on Sunday night?
I'm not sure.
Because you,
but it's a great Sunday night game either way.
Yeah, honestly, you don't see good matchups like this on primetime a lot. They usually give us a whack matchup. Like Monday Night Football is Buffalo versus the Patriots, while like Sunday Night Football is the Saints versus the Vikings. Like, they should really try to do their primetime schedule like that. Like, just put two teams you know are going to be good this year in primetime.
They just recently flexed out the Giants game in December from out of Sunday Night Football. Thank God.
Good. All right, play them up. Play those bitches at one.
All right, so last game, the New England Patriots laying 13.5 at the Ralph, baby.
Okay, well.
I'm going to go quick. There's not enough points in the world. I honestly don't even know what this line would have to be to get me to take the Bills. I'm not taking the Bills. There's no way I'm ever taking the Bills. I'm definitely not taking the Bills against the Patriots. I don't care if this game is played on the fucking moon. Give me Tom Brady and the Patriots. Minus.
What if it was a college spread, like they were giving you 28?
I mean, yeah. Anything over 24, I'd have to really think about. But
oh, wait. You still be on the fence with, like, 24.5?
I think 20. I think I would take New England minus 21, 22, yeah.
No, 24.5. Would you take the Bills?
I don't know about 24.5. It's close. That's getting to the – that's right around the range. I have to start thinking about it.
Okay.
Cat, what do you say?
The coin is begging – the Ralph is a tough place to play. you know, it's hard to go in there and play because it's in Buffalo, and who the fuck wants to be there? They not only not have their starting quarterback –
Rob Gronkowski, by the way, is from Buffalo, which I just found out.
Is he really?
Yeah, going weird. Back to his hometown. He's about to elbow drop another guy.
He's probably, yo, watch out for the bars in Buffalo. Robert Gronkowski's going to be doing fucking keg stands and shotgunning beers and buying shots for everyone.
We have any listeners out in Buffalo, keep your wives and girlfriends home this weekend and Monday. Don't let them leave the house.
Gronk going to smash is what we're just trying to say.
Gronk smash.
I got to say, though, that like I just – Okay, Buffalo ain't gonna play their best QB. They're playing Derek Anderson, a guy who's semi okay in 2009 or some shit. They got maybe McCoy's gonna play, but you're probably gonna see a good load of Chris Ivey because McCoy's got concussion protocol. They have no receivers. Their defense is whack. The Patriots have been rolling. I just can't. All right, coin Buffalo. How many points? 13.5.
Yeah.
Just the Patriots are acting a fool. And they just don't care. They didn't practice this week. they only win by 13.
All right, listen up, audience across the world, across the country.
The Ralph is a tough place to play.
Listen to me. If you got $5 in coins, if you got $50, if you got $100, whatever money you have that you can gamble, you're gonna put them on the Buffalo Bills this week. Okay.
If you only have $5 in coins, I recommend not gambling it.
All Miller is seeing is like, well, I'm definitely up one game on these two dicks this week. Like,
you give my man Derek Anderson 2 weeks with that playbook. Okay, you got a divisional game, and last but not least, you're playing at the fucking Ralph. We're going Buffalo Bills. Whatever money you got, put them on there. I think the last time I saw, 76% of the money in Vegas is on the Pats. Vegas never loses, bro. Not. I mean, they might lose game by game, but not as a collective. Monday night is where we're gonna make our fucking money. Take those points. Take it to the Ralph.
Watts, and thank you later. You're the official statistician here at the League Podcast. What are the odds? Like, what's your money line? Like, how much money you getting back on the betting on the Bills here?
Was it 13.5? Let me see. I'll look it up right now.
Because it's got to be insane.
Got to be like +400 or something.
Yo, it's got to be good.
No, it's probably like +115. Let me see.
No,
I would. 115 is not that great.
Money line bet.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. I thought you said. Oh, by the way, that we're changing it. We're changing the stats right now because the line is now at 14 points for New England.
Yeah, that doesn't change Miller's. Miller's was like iffy on 24.5. You think he's gonna be phased by 14? The half point.
I don't make my bets depending on what Miller thinks. Okay. Like.
No, bro. I'm just trying to say like he was. I'm with the coin all the way. Miller's not phased at all by the 1.5 point. And you were like, all right, the Ralph is a tough place.
I'm just saying this could matter. It could make a difference between a push and a win.
But what's your return on your bet on the Bills?
Hold on.
I just have to know. Like, they got to be offering some – because there's zero – I bet you – what? And what's the money on the Bills?
The money line is – hold on.
If you can give me the percent.
It says -1050 for New England. So basically, you have to spend $1,000 to win $100.
Oh my God, that's gotta be a record. Yo, what's above the Bills?
Okay, so we're looking at +850. So $100 makes you $850. You make $950.
For funsies, do you all want to put in like $50 on the Bills just to see?
By the way, Watts, you make $750, not $950. No, I do not want to do that, Kat.
Watts, do you want to do that, bro? $50 each?
Yeah, I got you.
If it's $400 each, bro, I'm willing to fucking burn the 50.
That is what you'll be doing.
Well, yo, the Ralph is a tough place to play, Miller. You don't know about the Ralph. Okay.
Have you been there? It's fucking madness, bro.
It's terrible. Like, there's all the guys are Dave and Buster's up there. That's it.
That's it.
All right.
So wrap up.
Let's wrap up. You know, another good week of the League Podcast. A lot of good picks here. We will see you all next week. I will have a baby then, so hopefully we can get it in on Saturday. Anyone got any music to play us out? Watch, you want to continue playing that Big Papa?
I got something else.
Oh, you got a new song? All right, man. Keep playing.
Wait, hold on.
Was that like a Casio keyboard beat? What the fuck was that?
Was that a Launchpad original?
Oh, shit. Some old school shit. Yeah, baby.
Burning the Mac, baby. Let's make this money. Oh!
All right, we will see you all next week.
Peace.